You're listening to SBS News.
Hotel stays for 2,000 homeless Victorians will continue until at least April 2021 as the state battles a second coronavirus wave. The state government took the rough sleepers into vacant hotels at the start of the pandemic to help them isolate. Since then, a $150 million package to extend current hotel accommodation has been announced for the people, and they will also be supported into stable long-term housing. Associate Professor Cameron Duff from RMIT University says getting people off the street to help protect them from COVID-19 has been one of the few positives of the pandemic.
It works, and I think this is something in the sector we've been arguing for a long time, that we need arrangements like this where we're able to very quickly move people from insecure housing or indeed people who are rough sleeping. We need to have options to move quickly people into transitional housing, and if that involves hotels for short periods of time whilst other more secure arrangements are being put in place, and then that's what we need to do. And what we've seen in Victoria, largely as a result of the pandemic response, has been a sudden increase in those sorts of options, and they work. I mean, the critical thing is to move people out of rough sleeping into transitional housing as quickly as possible, and it works.
The unexpected bright spot comes during Homeless Week, which highlights the plight of approximately 116,000 people who are homeless in Australia. The three main reasons for homelessness are due to a lack of affordable housing, family violence, and financial stress. Figures from the last census in 2016 showed recent migrants also accounted for 15% of the homeless estimate, with almost three quarters of this group living in severely crowded dwellings. The majority come from countries in Southeast Asia, Northeast Asia, and Southern and Central Asia, including India, China, and Afghanistan. Jenny Smith, the CEO of the Council to Homeless Persons in Victoria, says the doubling of JobSeeker and the introduction of JobKeeper has had a major impact in staving off homelessness during COVID-19. But for those not eligible for payments, it's a different story.
It's been really important. We have in our services seen people who have not been eligible for those payments, people on work visas here from overseas who've been unable to, where they've expired, they've been unable to return home, asylum seekers. They have been the real terrible victims of this circumstance where they haven't been able to access JobSeeker and not had an income. And we are seeing those people come to our services.
Rough sleepers are just a small part of the problem, with far more people likely to be squatting, sleeping in cars or couch surfing, with two-thirds of Australia's homeless living in the nation's capital cities. Homelessness Australia says people under the age of 25 make up 40% of the homeless population, with people over 55 also one of the fastest growing groups. Associate Professor Duff has looked at how the coordination of services such as housing, education, social care, mental health and substance use treatment can make a significant difference in reducing the risk of homelessness. He says while the initial cost of putting people into emergency housing is expensive, it's a move that saves money in the long run.
There's research from all over the world to prove this, that if we're able to move people out of very insecure, very vulnerable circumstances, then their demand for services over the longer period tends to drop. So there are, you know, there's a cost associated with this, of course, but if we're prepared to foot that cost at the outset, then we know that there are cost savings down the track. People get better. People's lives improve. People's demand for healthcare services drops. And I think this is a critical thing to remember in Homelessness Week, that we do have a sense of what works.
But emergency housing is just the start. Those working in the area say there needs to be more long-term social housing available for people once they leave emergency accommodation. Associate Professor Duff says it should not just be government that foots the bill, adding private-public partnerships can play a role that could see developers given incentives by the government to partly finance social housing. Digby Hughes is a Senior Policy and Research Officer at Homelessness New South Wales. He believes Finland has a great model for tackling homelessness, which has resulted in rough sleeping becoming a thing of the past.
And they've done that by what's called a housing first approach. And then you wrap around any support they need. It might be drug and alcohol. It might be mental health. It might be acquired brain injury. If it's a woman escaping domestic violence, it's a support around that. Whatever support need that individual has, you give them that support need and they maintain their home. What has been shown in the last few years, especially in New South Wales, our services in New South Wales have been able to keep people who refer to them in their tenancies because they've been really, they're really skilled at keeping people the support that they need.
The Victorian government says it will soon lease 1,100 properties from the private rental market and release the first of 1,000 new social housing units promised at the state election. Meanwhile, Federal Labor is urging the Morrison government to fund the construction of more social housing, saying in times of economic crisis, housing construction has often played a key role in economic recovery. And you can stay up to date on coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.